Good evening. I'm Laurie Hackett. Welcome to another episode of A Closer Look. And listeners, as you know, we spend time together once a month getting to know nonprofit leaders and people who are making a real difference in the Lehigh Valley. So we are so pleased for this program. I'm excited to introduce someone to you who I haven't seen in a long time. So it's really nice to reconnect this evening. So joining with us here in the studio is Jeff Catch. And Jeff is the CEO of Rodale Institute. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Laurie. Thank you so much for having me tonight. It's really an honor to be here.
Yeah. Well, we're thrilled. You said you'd been here one other time in the studio.
That's right.
So
it's been a long time.
Yep. Well, DIY has been here for a long time. And we're just thrilled because, as I said in the opening, this show gives us the chance to really get to know people and understand a bit of the passion and the leadership that comes through roles like yours. So let's jump right in. Tell us about the Rodale Institute, please.
Yeah, the Rodale Institute is widely known as the global leader in regenerative organic agriculture. It was started by J.I. Rodale in 1947. Many people credit J.I. for being the preeminent thinker in the modern-day organic farming movement. So he actually coined the term organic as it's used today. So this, what is now a $100 billion industry worldwide, was actually started over on Cedar Crest Boulevard and Mindsight Road at the Rodale family farm. And then fast forward to the 1980s, when his son Robert Rodale took over the organization, many people credit Bob Rodale for coining the term regenerative agriculture. Regenerative farming is now being adopted by 58 of the world's top 100 food companies.
And could you talk a little bit about what is regenerative?
Yeah. So actually, I was recently handed a book that Bob Rodale wrote about, and it was never published. And the book was written about a month before he was tragically killed in Russia when he was over there doing some work with the farmers that were impacted by Chernobyl. But anyway, Bob Rodale coins the term regeneration as a method of producing ideas and products that systematically makes more efficient use of all available inputs and resources, and that continually improves both the resource base and the people involved in that process. So this is a model for continuous improvement that he observed in farming, and he carried that forward into his ideologies for how he led businesses.
Wow, fantastic. What drew you to this role? I know you've been there for a while. You've come up through different roles at Rodale Institute, is that correct?
Through both the publishing company for about 17 years, and then more recently, I've been with the Rodale Institute for 8 years. But honestly, Laurie, I've been on this journey with Rodale my entire life. So I grew up here in the Lehigh Valley. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate to have two amazing parents who still live here in the Lehigh Valley, and I grew up in the 1980s, and my earliest memories as a child were being in the doctor's office. So I was a very sick young boy and had a lot of health challenges. Around the age of 13, I had sustained an injury and I was forced to stay home from school for about 8 weeks. And during that time, I was bedridden and a TV commercial came across for a magazine called Men's Health. And I had been tired of being sick. And at the age of 13, I asked my mom, I said, hey, the next time you go to the grocery store, could you buy me a copy of this magazine that just came across the television? Because I want to get healthy. And I think this magazine's going to teach me how to do it. So I ended up reading that one copy cover to cover about 10 times. And my next assignment to my mom was, hey, mom, next time you go to the grocery store, could you buy me a list of these foods? Because the magazine told me if I eat these foods, I'm going to get healthy. And little by little, over the next 8, 10, 12 weeks, I started changing the way I felt and looked. And by the time I got back to school, the students didn't recognize me. So that was really a foundational moment for my health journey, where I learned how nutrition and food could actually be my medicine and my greatest healer. And so that led me to study marketing at university. And then when I graduated college, I thought, how can I put together my passion for health together with my education in marketing? And that's what led me to a job at Rodale Publishing in 2001.
What a story. That is fantastic. Not a story. What an experience that you've had.
Yeah.
And when you think about from that first moment when you were 13, did you ever dream you'd be the leader of the organization?
Never in my life. But I was recently reminded of a science project that I did when I was in sixth grade. I went to St. Thomas More, a Catholic school here in the Lehigh Valley. Mm-hmm. And there was this incredible science teacher, Mrs. Mounta, and she challenged all the students to do a science project and enter it into the Pennsylvania Junior Academy of Science. Mm-hmm. And I did that. And I had forgotten, decades went by, and I recently found the certificate because I got to go to Penn State because my project was chosen as a finalist. And I ended up studying soil and how bean plants grow in different soil types.
Oh my God.
And, you know, fast forward to today, I'm now the CEO of the Rodale Institute, and the mission of the Rodale Institute has, from day one, has always been healthy soil equals healthy food equals healthy people. So as I look back on my life, I've seen these dots that have just connected one after the other. And so it's just a huge humbling honor to be the leader of this organization in this moment in our history.
I know that Rodale Institute is a global organization. You have a global reach. What about here in the Lehigh Valley, where a lot of our listeners are living? How would they be involved with Rodale Institute?
Sure. So the Rodale Institute has two campuses here in our community. The original Founders Farm is our property over on Cedar Crest Boulevard. That's where J.I. Rodale began his work. The Rodale family donated that campus to the Institute 8 years ago after they exited their publishing company. On that campus, we now run a community program in partnership with Phoebe Ministries, where we're actually producing food for Phoebe residents, and eventually we're going to be producing food for the community. So that's really our community farm, and there's ongoing education and programming that happens spring through fall on that campus. But our main campus is out in Maxatawny, which is just on the edge of Lehigh and Berks counties. That campus is about a 430-acre farm where we conduct long-term research. And so we have a team of PhD scientists out on that campus that are doing groundbreaking science, that are teaching farmers around the world how to farm using organic and regenerative organic methods. But that campus is open to the public 7 days a week. So all year long, we also have educational programming. We have different types of plant sales and other community events. All of that information, of course, can be found on our website. But that's really a destination for inspiration for all of the Lehigh Valley. And we encourage people to come every day to visit the farm.
Wow, that's great to know. How big is the staff? How big is your team?
Our global team is about 120 employees at peak. We staff up in the season. Mm-hmm. But we're about 100 to 120 employees average on an annual basis. I would say that about 60% of our team is based here in Lehigh and Berks counties. And the remaining 40%, we have campuses in Iowa, California, Washington State. We now have a small research campus over in Parma, Italy, where we have a team working with farmers across Europe. And Rodale is starting to form partnerships on a regional basis so that we could go into parts of the world that need our help from an agricultural perspective. And we're doing the research and the education to help farmers in those regions.
Your enthusiasm and sincerity and passion for this is incredible. So anybody who knows you, Jeff, certainly knows that the minute you start talking. Can you give us an example or a moment in the past year when you knew you were exactly where you're supposed to be?
It just happened last week, actually. I had an opportunity to meet with the head of a company called Patagonia's Foundation. So Patagonia, the apparel company, is one of the most iconic brands in the world, truly. It's still a family-owned, privately held company. And the Chouinards, the family who owns that company, recently gave the company away to the earth. So they started a foundation, and the company gives away between $25 and $50 million in profit to organizations like Rodale that are healing the earth. And last week, I had an opportunity to meet with the head of the foundation because they gave us a grant last year. And Rodale now has a team at work in California in the one county of Ventura County where Patagonia is headquartered. And they challenged us. They said, Rodale, could you come into our community? And our community is one of the top pesticide application zones in the world because so many vegetables and fruits are grown there. And the chemicals are ending up in the groundwater and the chronic illness rates are off the charts. And they're beginning to correlate and trace those chronic illness epidemics back to farming practices in the community. And so they challenged us 8 months ago, Rodale, could you and your team come in here and actually teach our farmers how to go organic? And last week I was reporting out on the results that a small but mighty team of Rodale employees has already touched in less than 8 months, 26% of all farms in Ventura County. We've touched them with our message. 57 farms in less than 8 months have raised their hand and said, Rodale, we want to go organic. We want your help. And we want to move our agriculture in a healthier direction. So when I was sitting in that guy's office last week reporting on those results, I felt, I'm like, what an amazing moment to be doing this work.
I'm exactly where I should be.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeff, that's wonderful. You mentioned Phoebe Ministries earlier. Big fan of Phoebe. We recently had Scott Stevenson on the show.
Great leader, great friend.
Wonderful. He said that same about you. collaboration and connection are just prevalent throughout the Valley. It's mm-hmm. something that we really, you know, honor about the community. Are there other partnerships, other collaborations that Rodale is involved with?
Yeah, central to my leadership at Rodale, I became CEO 3 years ago, and collaboration was really the core tenets of what I felt we needed to do as an organization. And so, yes, we have other amazing community partners. The one I really want to highlight right now is mm-hmm. St. Luke's. President Ed Naraki, who's the president of the Anderson campus. Ed believes deeply yes. in Rodale and our movement, as well as Rick Anderson. Mm-hmm. And both Ed and Rick have really challenged Rodale to build America's first certified organic farm-to-hospital program in the nation. So Rodale has been operating a 14-acre certified organic farm at that campus in Easton. That farm is run by Rodale employees. It is producing food for patients as well as for employees. And we are now serving 9 campuses some of the best food you could purchase. It's really an amazing program that I think showcases our mission of healthy soil, healthy food, healthy people. So we love our partnership at St. Luke's.
I have been over there volunteering. Our team at my work at Air Products goes over every year and does volunteering.
And the Air Products Foundation was instrumental in our fruit orchard. So not only do we grow vegetables, we now, thanks in part to Air Products,
absolutely.
We have an orchard and we're growing berries and fruits in a seasonal consumption. It's really cool.
I love going over to see the flowers. Jeff, let's talk a little bit about your leadership. Mm-hmm. How would you describe the leadership philosophy and the practice that you have? You've been wildly successful.
Mm. Wow, that's humbling to hear. Lori, I've always been driven by passion, by this belief that when you put people together in an organization that live and breathe the mission, we could be an unstoppable force. And that's really what I've been working hard at doing, is surrounding myself with other leaders at Rodale that are there because mm-hmm. they're passionate about it. We've built an incredible team. You know, the Rodale Institute, frankly, has been going through its own rebirth. Regeneration, as Robert Rodale would call it. So we're a 78-year-old nonprofit that feels a lot like a 78-year-old startup. Mm-hmm. When I started 8 years ago, we were about 25 employees working here at one campus in Kutztown, and now we are about 120 employees working at about 8 or 9 campuses around the nation. So we've gone through this huge inflection point, and the reason for that, I believe, is twofold. I think, number one, the world is ready for what Rodale's been espousing for a very long time. Consumers are waking up every day realizing that our food system is broken. Mm-hmm. And Rodale is the solution. So that has put a huge demand on our work. But you know, the other side of that is we've built an amazing team. So we've spent the last 8 years really hiring great leaders, hiring people who believe in the mission, who have been indoctrinated with the Rodale philosophy for a long time. And we've all come together for this moment. And so there it just feels like there's sort of a magical culture that is unfolding. I'm very proud of the team I get to work with.
I love that you said you've spent time hiring great leaders, mm-hmm. you know, in that you are the leader of the organization, but every person you hire is leader of what they do.
That's exactly it. We're attempting to run this organization as
love
a team.
It.
And so moving away from sort of that yeah. autocratic form yeah. of leadership to it's not I, but we. I also would say that about the board of directors. You know, we've spent, as a nonprofit, mm-hmm. we've spent a lot of time over the last several years rebuilding our board and bringing together people from across the country that are really contributing to the mission. One of our co-chairs is Maria Rodale. So she's third generation. I call her the fire carrier of our mission. And Maria and I have really worked hard to build a great board of directors that are really serving the organization.
And we're almost at the end of our time, Jeff, but I wanted to talk about volunteer opportunities because so many of our listeners, I know they listen in, and they're looking for places to get involved in community. Mm-hmm. Are there volunteer opportunities, and how would people get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Yeah, we welcome volunteers. We've really worked hard to build a robust volunteer program. First of all, 16 years ago, when I started getting this call from the farm, I started feeling compelled to go, what is going on that farm out in Kutztown? And so I started volunteering. I would literally go out and pull weeds on my days off from my work at the publishing company. And so that's how I got involved. Mm-hmm. And so we encourage people to come get involved. RodaleInstitute.org. You'll see a volunteer section on our website. Go there and we'll get you connected. There's lots of opportunities to volunteer well beyond pulling weeds. Mm-hmm. But if you really just want to come spend time on the farm and learn about our work, volunteering is the best way to do that.
Before we close, final thought to leave with our listeners?
I believe that the greatest healing of our time begins in the soil. That I think that our culture, you don't have to look too far to read bad news, but there's good news happening all over the earth right now. There are farmers and consumers waking up every day that are building a better food system. And I think the greatest healing of our time begins in the soil.
So well said. Yeah. Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you, Lori.
Sure. And listeners, again, we were just joined by Jeff Katch, and Jeff is the CEO of Rodale Institute. And we'll be right back.
WDIY's overnight delivery service is a refreshing mix of vintage and current popular music. You'll hear many of the artists played on The Blend and some from our folk, blues, and world programs. WDIY Overnight is a continuous mix of music popular with night owls and late shift workers. Listen Monday through Saturday night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. and Sundays from midnight to 5 a.m. for this great mix of hand-picked music on WDIY.
Welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm Laurie Hackett, and we just enjoyed a wonderful conversation with Jeff Katch, who is the CEO of Rodale Institute, and our next guest here in the studio. Very excited because this is certainly an organization I care so much about, as do many of our listeners. But now with us in the studio is Darlene Poors, and Darlene was just awarded the Betsy Torrance Philanthropist of the Year Award from Women United of the United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley. Welcome, Darlene.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for all that you do in the community. Oh. Let's jump right in. Tell us what being named Philanthropist of the Year really means to you.
Well, I was totally shocked. There's so many people in the community that do so much, and I think it's one of the highest honors that I had gotten from, you know, the many, I shouldn't say many, but a number of awards that I have received. And, you know, I'm really passionate about what Women United does and everything. So this really meant a lot, and especially to get nominated by my peers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I know the award ceremony was held at Da Vinci.
Yes.
So that was a beautiful way to bring in young girls, commitment by women in this community, really everyone in this community, to STEM as well. Tell us about the evening.
Well, I loved going, you know, obviously you know that there's several floors in the building. Mm-hmm. And in the lower level, they had a lot of the children from Central Elementary. And it was just wonderful to go around and see, you know, what they were doing and seeing our dollars at work almost, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. And Darlene, I know you're at HT Lyons.
Yes.
Were they involved in the evening? And what did some of your colleagues say when they saw on social and in the paper that you were named Philanthropist of the Year?
They were involved. They did a sponsorship, which was great. And the vice president of the company came to the awards, and some of my team that I work with came. And I remember one of my colleagues said to me that Chris Berniker, who is our vice president, said he had no idea I was involved in all this and just was like amazed. And he said that it was just such a great group of people and so inspiring. So,
that's wonderful. Let's talk a little bit more about Women United. I know that Women United, you were the chair of the board of Women United and have been just a wonderful volunteer. First of all, could you tell our listeners what it is? And I know there are some signature projects. Maybe share a little bit about them.
Well, our main goal is to help women and children in the community, especially underprivileged people that need help and, you know, to help guide and make things easier for them and life easier for them. And we do have 10 signature projects. We used to only have, like, I think two or three, and now we have 10. So that makes me feel really good because we're getting more funds in that we can help our community. Mm-hmm. So that's just, you know.
Can you tell us a little bit about the signature projects? Maybe give us a couple of examples and what that means.
Okay. Yeah, well, we, you know, collect money and try to help the community. So one of our signature projects is the Boys and Girls Club of Allentown. We have a thing called Smart Girls, or they do that. They educate the girls in health and fitness and self-esteem. And then the Community Bike Works is another one. It elevates and redefines, you know, their social status and helps them feel comfortable with what they're doing.
So your signature projects mean that you partner with nonprofit organizations.
That's correct.
To really help provide support, resources. What about hands-on volunteerism?
Well, a lot of stuff happens with Project Veston. There's a lot of volunteer opportunities there. Right. Also Central Elementary. We can go in and read Day of Caring with United Way. We go in and do whatever needs to be done, whether it's painting or, you know, helping clean up something. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a matter of whatever's the need is.
Whatever they
need. And then also, like during COVID and right now with the government shutdown and so many people being, you know, unemployed and having food insecurities, we've collected to donate to the food banks and various organizations to help feed
and needed
the community.
Now, certainly more than ever.
Yeah, correct.
Darlene, what first drew you to philanthropy and volunteerism?
I think what it was, I was involved in a number of women's organizations, and some of the ladies were involved with United Way. And growing up, my mom was, raising my brother and me. So I was one of those people that, took advantage of the free lunch program and so forth. And we certainly weren't as bad off as some people that you hear about. But I just thought, when I get older, I'm going to do something, try to make some kind of change or do something.
Mm-hmm.
If I ever hit the lottery, I'll donate a lot of it.
Right. That's wonderful.
So that's what kind of spurred me to do what I do.
So it's not, am I correct? There wasn't just one defining moment. It was just how you were raised,
mm-hmm.
and you were grateful for that, and you knew someday if I'm able, I'm going to put this back.
Correct.
Oh,
correct, yeah.
Fantastic. How many women are involved with Women United?
Oh, I think our membership might be like up to 125 now.
That's wonderful. Wow, such a great... When you think about the work that you do, what values do you bring into your volunteer work?
Well, I think paying forward is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just helping people. I mean, I grew up in Bethlehem, and at the time it was a smaller community than it is now.
Sure.
And it was very community focused. And mm-hmm. I think, working all together and, helping each other out. You used to have your neighbors help you do things and so forth. And I think, as the area has grown, we've lost some of that. But, I think through Women United and the United mm-hmm. Way, a lot of some of that comes back into the picture.
Absolutely. We've been doing this show for a couple of years and, for 4 years, proudly. I say a couple like I can't remember. It's been 4 years.
That happens.
But pretty much every guest references United Way. It just the mm-hmm. impact has been so strong, so sustained, so thorough, so meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in Bethlehem, let's talk about that. So you've really seen the community grow.
Correct.
Talk a little bit more, if you don't mind, about the collaborative nature of the community. Do you see partnerships happening?
Oh, yeah, all the time. And, for instance, I'm involved with Good Shepherd's Women Giving Circle.
Mm-hmm.
So Women United and Good Shepherd did an event together. And I think, we have a lot of overlap, which is great. And so doing things together, you do more mm-hmm. as a group than you do as an individual. Mm-hmm. So, I think that's real important.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about you and your role at HT Lions. Are there things that you've learned at work that you bring out to your volunteer work? And the same, through your involvement with Women United, are there mm-hmm. things that you learn in community that you take back to work?
Yeah, I think so. At Lions, we have some really great people there that, get involved in things. And, we do collections for, the food bank and I guess with the MCA, our Mechanical Contractor Association, we have received checks that we actually donated to the food bank,
nice.
Second Harvest. Mm-hmm. So, I think just the atmosphere of giving and, wanting to help the community is like a key thing at HT Lions.
Right. So you see it, the culture in community certainly
correct.
Is represented
mm-hmm.
at your company.
Yeah.
What about mentors for you? Are there people from whom you've learned, you want to emulate, you want to get guidance from?
I think professionally, I've had a couple mentors. I had a wonderful gentleman when I first started at HT Lions, and unfortunately he retired, but I could have learned so much more if I mm-hmm. could have been with him longer. But actually, I think through my whole career, I really haven't had a mentor that, helped me move up or do what, my goals were.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I have evolved in different roles at HT Lions, which, has been very beneficial for what I do now.
Mm-hmm. What about community mentors?
I would say probably the biggest mentor that I have would be Marilee Falco
oh.
or Bev Theodore. She's wonderful.
And what is it about, those are two examples, what is it when you thought about mentoring community that made you think of those two women?
Because they're giving and they're always, you know, volunteering their time and you know, funds and treasure, or, you know, whatever you want to say, yeah.
Love to chat or hear from you a little bit more about what you think the future of the Valley is. What do you see in some of the leaders that are coming up? And are you optimistic about the future of the Valley?
Very much so, because when I first got involved with Women United and even like the chamber organizations and stuff, a lot of them were just my age, and we're getting so many new, younger members in Women United, which is good because it makes you feel like, okay, this is going to go on, and they care about the community, and they care about helping others, and I feel very optimistic about that.
That's great. Great to hear that, yes, that there, first of all, there's opportunities at Women United for all.
Correct.
I know that there is the Day of Caring through United Way. Has Women United been involved in that?
Yes, they always send out an email and see who can volunteer to do what. And, you know.
Could you tell our listeners a little bit about what Day of Caring is? People might not realize.
Well, the people that we support through Women United and also the United Way, they might need some help doing something at, say, Central Elementary. They might need a room painted. So we go out and we help do that. Or help organize.
That's wonderful. It makes such a difference. And I know that. I think that happens each September.
Correct.
And it's such a way to, first of all, bring community together. Companies, individuals, Women United volunteers. Just spend the day out there. And it also, I guess, also kicks off our United Way campaign of the Greater Lehigh Valley.
Yeah. And it's just been wonderful to see how it just keeps going up in dollars to help the community, and that all the dollars stay in the community.
Exactly. Darlene, how do you decide where to spend your time and your resources?
I think that things that stay in the community. You know, there's other opportunities to volunteer or do things, but, you know, it's like a percentage stays in the community. And with United Way, I know that what I'm giving, you know, for Women United and also like with Good Shepherd, it stays within the community and it helps benefit everybody in the community.
What advice would you give to people who maybe are listening and thinking of getting involved as a volunteer?
Oh, we're a great group to get to know. We do a lot of networking, and you know, it's just wonderful people to spend your time with. And I think, you know, come out to one of our events and see how nice we are.
Right. And how would people learn about Women United?
There's a website on the United Way site for Women United, and it tells you all about what we do, what signature projects we have, and how to get involved.
Great. And what is the website address if people are listening?
It's UnitedWayGLV.org.
So people could go on there and see all the volunteer opportunities.
Yeah. And see what all the United Way does, not just Women United, but there's, you know, other opportunities that you can get involved.
Community schools, the youth council, so much. Yes. Yeah. Like you, I certainly have a place in my heart for United Way for all of the things that it does, just as you said.
You know, we're involved with the Literacy Center and, you know, like I said, Central Elementary we've been involved with for quite some time.
That's wonderful. Well, Darlene, unfortunately, we're at the end of our time already. I know this always goes so fast. Is there anything that we didn't have a chance to talk about that you want to share with listeners before we end?
I think with the way the world is now, that there's so much, seems like there's a lot of hate and there's a lot of violence and a lot of rhetoric and so forth. I think people need to step back and think about helping each other, and there's no better way to do that than volunteer and help people in your community.
So well said. Perfect way to end. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So listeners, again, we were joined by Darlene Poors, and Darlene was the Betsy Torrance Philanthropist of the Year, is the Betsy Torrance Philanthropist of the Year. She's with Women United of the United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley. Thanks so much for listening. Again, as you know, listeners, we gather once a month on this program to just get to know the people that are making such a difference in this beautiful Lehigh Valley. Thanks again for being with us. See you next month on A Closer Look.